We're at the Mall of America Field at the Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome in Minneapolis, Minnesota, as the red-hot 8-5 Eagles beat the 3-9-1 Minnesota Vikings.
Going into the Viking game, everyone was really excited. Just the morale of the team was a real good one.
Let's go!
The statement we wanted to make was we didn't care who was in or who wasn't playing. We just wanted to show up. We want to show up and show out.
Show them how to dominate. Get what they want today, boy.
Go.
Win on three. 1, 2, 3. Win.
In the beginning of the game, they hit us with some variations of different plays that we haven't seen from them before. They were a run-first team, and they actually started passing a whole lot more.
Back goes Castle. He's looking. He fires. He is Jarius Wright, who breaks the tackle at the 20, comes to the 30. He steps up. He is going deep. He's got Jennings. He's right at the 10. Jennings for a touchdown. So the Vikings score first. Eagles have to get to their own 46 for a first down. Here comes the rush. Cole steps up. He's going to run. He's got the first down.
Our offense, just like they do any week, they were doing a great job moving the ball.
He fakes to a bunt. Now he screens it out. Running with the ball is McCoy. He's at the 30. Outside to the 20.
But this week it just seemed a little different. They couldn't seem to just cross that threshold line, get across the end zone.
So Alex Henry, who was 18 for 23, attempts a 35-yard field goal, which is up and perfect.
I really tip my hat to Matt Castle and the receivers. They definitely stepped up when the time was needed.
Castle looks, the word you used is accurate, very, very comfortable. Vikings. Bex in the eye. And it is backing his way in for a touchdown to Asiata. And the Eagles were in trouble with 106 remaining until halftime.
17-6. We had to get some more points on the board before we had to go in at half. The offense did a good job marching down the field, and it set up an Alex field goal.
Ball is spotted. The kick is up. And the kick is good, and make the differential just 8 points.
At halftime, things, as bad as they seemed, and things weren't falling our way, we were only down by a touchdown. Coming back out, we really wanted to make our adjustments and come out strong and get some more points on the board. Things were just not falling our way. They managed to get a quick touchdown.
Castle fakes. He's back. He is going deep for Jarius Wright, who comes down with the football. Yes, they say it is a catch. Castle's back. He's going to go with a quarterback draw, and he's in for the touchdown. Nobody home.
Offensively, we were struggling the first half. Coming out that second half, we were able to get across that end zone.
Foles, slot to the near side. He's back again. He pumps. He's looking. He is floating it deep, and it is caught for a touchdown to Sean Jackson.
After Sean's touchdown, we were in a great position defensively to make a play and really turn this game around.
Castle back under a rush. It is deflected and intercepted! Intercepted by the Eagles!
The front seven did a great job. Seemed like what I would call a gift, but I dropped back into my zone and the ball was tipped by Benny Logan and the ball was right there and gave us some good momentum.
Foles back, looping it for Ertz. It's caught! Deep in the end zone. Is it a touchdown?
Yes.
Yes, it is! It is caught by Zach Ertz! Suddenly, there is life.
We started getting momentum going. We were only down by 5. We really wanted to get some more points on the board, but things didn't fall our way.
He gives it off instead to Asiata, who walks in. 33-22.
Offensively, kept fighting to the end. We made one more push. It just wasn't enough time for us to come back and solidify that win.
The final score, the Minnesota Vikings bury the Eagles today, 48-30.
Losing never feels good, and it's never easy, but we're still in control of our own destiny, and we got a big game this Sunday.
Next Sunday, it's the Eagles home against the Chicago Bears, and Mike and I will be at the lake to bring you all the action.
With this big game coming up this weekend, it's very important for us to come through with a good win because we're in great position to pull off that title. And much like us, they're in a position to fight for their division as well. This game's just as important to them as it is to us, so it's going to be a good one.
Coming up on Inside the Season, presented by Verizon Wireless, John Dornbos shares his magic with rookie lineman Lane Johnson, and we march back in time to Soldier Field in 1988, where memories of this famous playoff game were not foggy to the people who witnessed it.
1, 2, 3,
Bird Game!
So we're here in Aurora, Ohio, at the 2013 Rookie Symposium. It's the heart and the center of what most would consider the birthplace of football, Canton. Over the next 4 days, our rookies will be introduced to our four core areas of focus, which is history, the experience, and what the NFL experience is of the National Football League. We'll focus in on total wellness, and then that fourth pillar is professionalism. They are the future of the National Football League. For decades, there have been many successful NFL players, both on and off the field. We want to give them hope. We want them to walk away knowing that we believe in them. Support is here. The assistance is here. Engage and have fun.
Watch it. Oh.
This week at the Rookie Symposium, they've been getting across, you know, the importance of, you know, handling your finances, keeping your nose clean, taking care of your business.
Gentlemen, my signing bonus was $575,000. Of that money, I had $13,000 left going into that next year because I couldn't say no.
Brian is one of our closers. Brian was the complete professional. I think when Brian walks away, his talking points will really focus on what does that mean to be a professional.
In college, you know, you were more of a student athlete. Well, now in the NFL, this is your job now. You're a professional now.
Listen, it takes a lifetime to build a reputation. It takes one mistake for you to destroy it. And all the credibility that you have with all those people that you built along the way is destroyed by that one mistake.
If you think about it, being young, rich, and famous is an experiment that's bound to go wrong a certain percentage of time. Our job here at the Rookie Symposium is to keep that percentage as low as possible.
Ross Tucker's interesting because Ross and I spent most of our time together in Buffalo. He's done a wonderful job of balancing, asking the right questions. He also gives them a media perspective on what he's looking for, how he reports, and why he reports the way he reports.
I want as many positive stories coming out of the NFL as possible. I don't want on my radio show or on television to be talking about the negative all the time.
And I know almost all you guys have guys that you know in the league and you know what the NFL is all about. It's never been like this, though. You've never had guys that just finished their rookie year sitting here for 35 minutes telling you exactly what it's all about.
Before I got here, you know, one of my former players that played for my team last year asked him about the Rookie Symposium. His basic thing was, what he said was, Earl, man, it's just going to be a bunch of, you know, don't do this, don't do that. I've taken in so much more than that. It's crazy. I just have to thank the NFL and our organization for allowing me to be here.
We cover subjects such as health and safety.
You don't need to be knocked out to have a concussion.
Mental health.
I fought battles of depression, gentlemen. Depression is real.
Substance abuse.
The second oldest Leroy, I was able to get him out of jail. He was serving a term in life and ain't go to prison for distribution of heroin.
These topics are essential to talk about, discuss, because they will face them.
Since we got here, you know, we've been talking a lot about being a pro. You know, being a pro comes with a lot. It comes into being a man, you know. It comes into, you know, basically, you know, what you do off the field. And how you conduct yourself on the field also. I wrote down a lot of information. You know, I plan on going back and looking at my notes constantly. I'm talking about throughout the season and probably throughout my career because I've learned so much here, and it's crazy.
When you leave here, life happens.
This portion of Inside the Season was brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts. Download the free Dunkin' mobile app today. Inside the Season is brought to you by Verizon Wireless. For Eagles text alerts from Verizon Wireless, text Eagles to 82565. NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts. Download the free Dunkin' mobile app today. And by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals, the official hospital of the Philadelphia Eagles.
What's up, guys? I'm John Dornbos. We are joined here by our first-round draft pick, Lane Johnson. You're the fourth overall pick. Uh-huh. Now, were you expecting to be a first-rounder? It this way. When did you know I'm a baller and I'm going to go in the first round?
Probably after the Senior Bowl, because they want to see how I played, I guess, against elite competition, people from the SEC and stuff. And then after the combine, you know, kind of was icing on the cake. And then after that, I knew kind of where I was headed.
And you started as a quarterback in high school. You want to, you know, and then tight end and O-line. Now that you're here in the league, have you ever thought about making the transition back to quarterback maybe?
All the, time. When I see them out there just throwing, playing catch with Harold Carmichael, yes, every day.
You should be a long snapper.
I thought about that. I actually tried yesterday. It looked pretty good.
Now, look, this is not me. The producers of the show gave me this information. Okay. Apparently, there was a toll taken of worst hair on the team. Okay. I obviously went Connor Barwell. Okay. That was my vote, right? Or Alex Henry. Alex got some pretty bad hair. Supposedly, you've been voted worst hair on the team. Are you aware of this? Because I think you actually got a great, I mean, you got better hair than I do.
It's a strategy. This come over is a strategy. It kind of shows, I mean, you know, just kind of light, kind of Alex Henry-ish up here. But in the back, it's still good, so.
This is awesome. I don't know if this was your first job, but just tell everybody your first job as a kid, and then we're going to get to this if it wasn't. So what was your first job?
First official job where I got paid was I was a grave digger.
That's so sick. I've met a ton of people in my day. I've never met a great, kind of a morbid job, don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you literally, do it by hand.
Yeah.
And you dig graves.
Yeah, and everybody says, you know, 6 feet, you know, everything's 6 feet. You know the Creed song, I'm 6 feet from the edge, you know, maybe, you know, 6 feet ain't so far down. It's about 4.5 foot, you know, and if you have a vault that you put the casket in, it's, you know, around 5.5 foot.
Hold on, you got to back up. I don't know what a vault is.
A vault is like
if you're in a wood box, you go 4.5 feet.
Yeah.
If you're in a, so then there's a vault.
A vault is like a protective casing. It's, you know,
that's like
concrete.
Big money.
Yeah.
Big money burial.
Yeah. Yeah.
Would you be a vault guy, cremated guy, or a wood box guy?
You know, I may be cremated and, you know, put me in a litter box. You know what I'm saying?
All right. On that note, Lane Johnson, hopefully we won't find him in a litter box. We're out.
I still believe to this day that maybe the best team that I have seen was the one put together by Buddy Ryan in 1988. I still believe that team had a great chance not only to go to the Super Bowl, but win the Super Bowl. But on December 31st, 1988, they went to Soldier Field to play the Bears.
Cunningham at the gun. He's back. He's setting. He's being chased. He's firing. And it is tipped in the air and caught by Quick!
It's the playoffs. It's Buddy Ryan against his old team, against Mike Ditka. And the fog rolls in. And you cannot see the field from the press box.
And you turn on the TV and you can't see a game. And I'm going, well, there's no way they're playing. They can't play this game. You can't see.
I've been in stadiums where they put you in high press boxes and you feel like you're looking through the clouds. But in this case, we really are in the clouds.
And a bunch of us just jumped over the stands and onto the field to watch the game from the Eagles sideline.
Merrill probably has some great stories about that game because I don't even know how he did the play-by-play. Merrill, how did you call that game?
Now, I still tell friends who ask me about the game, I say, take a piece of white paper and look at that white paper. Put it right in front of your face. That's what I saw looking out of the broadcast booth. And I did the best I could to keep it as a humorous situation for a while. I would say things like, I can tell Randall Cunningham is having trouble. He was just led out of the huddle by a German Shepherd. But we could see nothing.
I believe if there was no fog in that game, the Eagles would have rolled the Bears, rolled right out of town, just like the fog, with a big victory.
So much was made in the time leading up to that game about McNabb going home, back to Chicago, playing before family and friends, and, you know, all the attention was focused on him, not just in the Philadelphia media, but in the Chicago media, of the return of the native son to play this kind of game. And that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure to put on a young player's shoulders. And McNabb was more than equal to it. I mean, he was terrific in that game. And looked like he was just totally calm, totally in command. And the Eagles wind up winning that game going away.
McNabb goes back again. He's looking. He's dashing. He's starting to roll. He backs up. He's still rolling. He's looking. Fires for the end zone. Caught for a touchdown. Wide open. All alone was Cecil Martin.
My favorite moment, memory of that game is, yeah, it was McNabb's homecoming. But it was more about Cecil Martin catching a touchdown pass because, you know, a little bit about his history. He unfortunately, before college, he and his mom lived in a homeless shelter in Chicago. You know, went on to college, and now he's playing in the NFL, and he's returning to his hometown and scores a touchdown in a playoff game that his team won.
The play that a lot of people remember is Hugh Douglas's hit on Jim Miller, the Bears quarterback.
Damon Moore intercepts Jim Miller, and as he's returning the football, Hugh Douglas, I think, just looked up the quarterback.
And Hugh Douglas then sends a message. Hugh Douglas absolutely plants Jim Miller, and that was basically saying, fellas, this game's over. You're intimidated. We're going to walk out of here with the victory.
I remember Hugh Douglas to this day still complaining about the fine he got when he hit Jim Miller.
I don't fully remember all the details, but I do remember this. Douglas has said to me many times that it's the play people applaud him for the most in a distinguished career.
Shane Matthews retreats, steps up, he's sacked back at the 12-yard line by Hugh Douglas.
It was indicative of the kind of team that the Eagles were. I mean, not only were they good, they were kind of nasty too. And they proved that day in Chicago as well.
This portion of Inside the Season was brought to you by Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals, the official hospital of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Well, what's transpired since we've been here is that you have a group of guys that came from a lot of different backgrounds. There were several guys that were here, and then we had an influx of some free agents, and then we had the draft, and we have a rookie on there. So you have guys from different backgrounds coming in, mixing, molding. It's a brand new scheme, and everybody's trying to feel their way to get better and understand where they fit and how each other plays and those types of things. It's been interesting. It's been a lot of fun. The guys are really doing a good job. I just, my hat's off to them as far as how hard they're working at it.
Manning with three receivers. The slot is to the right. He looks left. He fires left. And it's intercepted again! It's intercepted! Diving down with the interception is Kerry Williams.
Kerry is a terrific person. He's very intense. He's very professional. He's trying to get better. He's been very successful in his career, and I think he's really emerged as one of the leaders in the room.
It is second down and four at the Eagles 38. Lennon, straight back, looks right, fires, intercepted! Intercepted into the arms of Fletcher.
Brad's a great kid. He's one of the best guys in the room, and he's one of these guys that comes to work every single day, finds out what the job is, and just goes out there and works real hard to do it day in and day out. Always notice him when the ball's thrown his way. He's either making tackles in space or he's covering somebody. He's done a really good job working on things that he's weak at and getting better at those and using his strengths.
Tolson takes a low snap.
Brandon Boykin basically has done everything we've asked him to do, and he's done it very, very well. He's another guy that's just really worked really hard. He made a decision at the beginning of the year. He was going to be a better player, and he's worked very hard at the techniques to do that. I mean, he came to me and told me I'm going to be one of the best gunners, and he's done that as far as on special teams. And he's worked very hard at the nickel position. He's really gotten a feel for playing inside and understanding what we need to do.
It is third and goal from the seven. Back goes Smith, looks left, looks right. He's rolling, he's pumping, he's starting to run. He is getting a block. He's heading to the far side. He's pulled down at the 15. He can't get away from Nate Allen at the 15-yard line.
We're very pleased with Nate Allen this season and everything he's done. Number one, he's made a decision that he really wants to be a better player. Number two, he's studied very, very hard to do that, and he takes care of himself. He really trains hard and takes care of himself. He understands what's going on. He's playing without any thoughts or reservations. He's just going out there, he's reacting to what he sees, and now he's letting his athletic ability go and play, and we're very happy with him.
The 6th Annual Eagles Blood Drive will take place December 28th at Lincoln Financial Field. Every donor will receive a special Eagles gift and a chance to win a pair of tickets to the 2014 home opener. Make your appointment today.